Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we are all together again in the Magic Radio Box. It's an amazing accomplishment. But I got to tell you, I thought we had already seen the greatest story of the week. And I'm not sure that this passes what I have already given the title of the greatest story of the week. But it is a solid 9, if not a 10. As far as these kind of stories go, the week that has happened here, this one involves the world of professional baseball. It involves gasoline and sex, which I think are two things that a lot of people like to have part of their life. You drive, you need gasoline, you like to enjoy some adult activities. So I think this makes it a perfect story. So if you didn't hear about this, and you might have missed it, if you're a God-fearing, Bible-thumping type of person, probably not the story for you. Probably not the story. If you have sensitive, delicate ears, I get it. But if not, we have learned here through a media report that the use of gas station sexual enhancement pills in professional baseball is so widespread. How widespread is it? It's so widespread that Major League Baseball has sent out from its corporate offices a memo warning its employees, its players, that by using the pills they get at the gas station to enhance their performance, that could lead to a positive PED test. And my evidence on that, at least two players have claimed that they used the boner pills and got caught. They got caught and with the steroids and all that. So let us discuss. Now, the question, what is the big takeaway here from what I would say is an arousing predicament for Major League Baseball? Now, my observation is you've got the Modest, the Sahara, and Hours Long. All right, Hours Long. And we will put all of this together and we will make some pills, but not those kind of pills. We're not going to do that. Now, number one. Yes. Holy juice balls, Batman. That's what you would get from that show. But Major League Baseball players, I have a theory on this, that they're not really any different than the rest of us. I mean, they have a lot of money. It's a great life. You work 7-8 months a year, and then you've got 4 months off. It's kind of like being a teacher, except you have your time off in the wintertime. Teachers have their time off during the summertime. So you got a lot of money and all that, but the issues that we deal with as regular common folk and not having a high-profile job, they're the same, right? I mean, here's the thing, though. Most of these guys are in their 20s and early 30s. There's a handful of players that are past the age of 35, but most of them are 20s, and by the time you get to 33, 34, they start to phase you out of baseball. Now, I am an amateur scientist. I have practiced medicine on the radio for years without a license, like Doc Mike. And I have a pretty good idea here that if you are in that age range, typically you do not need a little extra boom boom. Typically, you're pretty good to go in that department. I think genetically, you're in pretty good shape. The pipes are working, everything's good there. But this has been described as a pervasive problem in professional baseball, like some kind of plague or infestation in big league baseball. So the thinking on this here is that what's going on here is the players are being modest. I go back to, you know, everyone's got the same problems in life. So these guys are being modest. Most guys, and it's one of the reasons we have all these commercials on sports radio for pills and whatnot. Thank God for that. They pay my bills. But one of the reasons we have it is because guys don't want to go to the doctor. And so if you want to avoid going to the doctor, but you want to get a little more bam-bam, then you have to go to some ulterior options. The dark web is an option. But it's a lot easier when you're at the Quickie Mart to just buy a couple of pills and then see how that goes, right? Why not? Right? You know, it's, I mean, you're a baseball player. You're mildly famous. Some guys are really famous, but mildly famous. And it is degrading to your machismo to have to admit that you need a little more in that department. We used to play a song years ago, and it got banned from Chicago radio. It was the Chubby Cubby song. This goes back to 2003. And I was thinking of the Chubby Cubby song when I saw this story. Like, the musical, if you want to know the soundtrack and how I'm wired, in my head, while I'm reading the story and I'm laughing my ass off, boy, this is great, we need to start the show with this, when I get to the radio station. And then I'm like, I'm playing the Chubby Cubby song in my mind, and swing, the whole thing. That goes back like 16 years. It's Barbershop Quartet. Now, they did update it, but it's, you know, the old cheat code, if you will, to the Cubby Chubby, or the Cardinal Chubby, or the A's Chubby, or whatever your favorite team is. The little slice of the Viagra cake, but not Viagra. Now, part two of this. The real winner in this story, you know who it is? It's the people running the convenience stores at gas stations across the United States and elsewhere. You cannot have a better testimonial to your product than this. I mean, this is national advertising. If you are a regular jamoke, a blue-collar working guy, right? You can either go to the black market and buy something there, or you can buy these particular Bam Bam pills that contain, according to the reports, very pricey anabolic steroids, right, that are part of this to enhance your performance by going to a mini mart at a gas station and buying them for pennies on the dollar. So my advice, find out who makes these things and purchase stock in these shady companies with these unscrupulous actors that are putting these pills out there. Why not? They will be in demand. Now, it's likely a fad, not a trend, but it's kind of like this. Now, guys that read this story are going to be, a certain percentage will be like, I got to try this. I got to see if this actually does help in that department. It's as easy as selling bottled water in the Sahara Desert, right? When you see people walking with like a camel through the Sahara Desert, they don't have any money. You can give them bottled water. You can charge them an extravagant amount of money, right? But if for no other reasons than curiosity, price, and convenience, the big three there. And as we continue on here, these are relatively cheap, as I said. You have very little interaction. I go to the gas station a couple times a week. Now, normally I go to Costco. You cannot buy these pills at Costco. They don't have a mini mart at Costco. So you have to go to like your regular old school gas station. But there's very little interaction. When I go to the regular gas station, here's how it goes. I'd like $20, 87 grade, because I'm not a sucker. Low grade, 87 grade. Pump 12, and then if you want, you can slip in, I'd like some of the magic jumping beans. Can I get some of those little package there? Yeah. Now, full transparency. There is a guy, and I will not name the person, who I have worked with at this company. Tom Looney! Who swears by the 7-Eleven pills. Okay? And I'm not BSing you. I'm not lying to you. This particular person, and he worked on my show years ago, has evangelized off microphone about the mystical powers of those pills at 7-Eleven. Tom Looney! I'm not naming names. All right? You can become a rhino man. You know, Now, I've never done it. You know why I've never done it? I'm a coward. That's why. All right? I've never done it. I was raised that you should never eat those gas station hot dogs. You should never do it. You should try to avoid it at all costs. You're better off urinating on the side of the road than going to a bathroom at the gas station. And you should avoid all medication that you see at, you know that counter when you go to the gas station, it's the
It's the impulse purchase. They do the same thing at the grocery store. They put all the stuff that you don't need, but you might buy at the last minute. They put that all there. It's called impulse purchasing, and they do it all the time in store. You go to any store. They've always, not Costco again, but anywhere else. They've got that little stand with bubble gum. Who really needs bubble gum? They got the stand with the candy there. You don't really need an extra Snickers bar, but you're going to buy one because they're right there, right? You don't need that extra bag of chips, but hey, and sometimes they even put a cooler there. You can buy a beverage, the whole thing. All right, the final point on this. So the reporting said that two Major League Baseball players claimed they failed this drug test as a direct result. There's a correlation between them failing the test and gas station sexual supplements, all right, that these things are combined. So, all right, I have conducted an hours-long, exhaustive investigation. All right, and I had enough stamina to get it done. As the great modern philosopher Bill Walton said, this is like a Viagra commercial. If it lasts more than 4 hours, call your doctor. All right, the great White Sox broadcaster Bill Walton. So using the classical process of process by elimination as my strategy, we eliminated all players banned for PEDs before 2019 because this memo came out in August of 2019. Late August of 2019. Since the memo was reactionary to a seemingly new pandemic of the boner pill abuse this season, so there have been how many active Major League players who have been suspended for PEDs in 2019? Three. So if two of them, this is like one of those word questions when you're in elementary school. So if two of them have been popped for PEDs, that means you have a pretty good chance of getting at least one of them. You're guaranteed to get one of them right if the logic is correct, if the thinking is correct. So who are the three players that have been popped for PEDs this year? You have Tim Beckham, who was playing for the Mariners, Frankie Montes of the Oakland Athletics, a pitcher, and Steven Wright of the Boston Red Sox. Those are the three. So after copious amounts of research, we believe, just an opinion, don't sue us, that it's Steven Wright and Beckham, Tim Beckham, right? Steven Wright is a knuckleball pitcher. He throws 45 miles an hour, okay? What's the need for steroids? It makes no sense, but he's 34 years old, could use a little bit more pizzazz in his giddy up there, so why not? And then you got Beckham. Now, he's not even 30. He's 29 years old. He got off to a good start in Seattle this year and then faded. But I put him out there. I mean, it could be Montes, but I'm going Beckham if I had to choose. Do you think we'll ever find the names out, though? I think somebody will put those out. Maybe not. You know what I'd like to know? And I'm very confident. I have the pulse of the people. This show, there is a good percentage of you, and maybe you listening, that have used these pills. I would like to hear if they actually work or not. I'm curious. I've never done it, and I'm a coward. I will likely never do it. But I would like to know.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Some new listeners joining us this hour. A lot of people still want to talk about what we talked about last hour. We'll get back to that. And it was a wonderful story from Major League Baseball involving stuff you buy at a gas station that will make you very happy with your loved one, your significant other, but could get you in trouble with Major League Baseball. So it's quite the story. Go back and check that out. But we move on, and the Chicago Bears, the darlings of the gambling public, the Chicago Bears are under attack. They are under attack, the Chicago Bears. Now, why are they under attack? They're under attack because they've been called out for what has been described as a reality-style kicking derby that took place in the offseason. Now, there's a story published in Sports Illustrated, and they had several of the kickers that were part of the audition. And there were a bunch. There was several of them there. Nine kickers, some of them off the record, anonymously, torching Matt Nagy and the process used to decide the kicking game. Now, the complaints included, but were not limited to,
the following. Matt Nagy's obsession with Cody Parkey's 43-yard missed field goal attempt, the double doink in the playoff game. They also complained about the metrics, the analytics that the Bears used to evaluate kickers. Guys were complaining about that. They were upset, very, very upset. What else? We have the, in addition to that, you've got the perceived bias that those that were part of the contest, there was a kicking consultant whom the Bears hired to aid them for the search, and many but not all of the kickers invited to the Bears facility had at one time kicked for this coach. So they were like, they were insiders. They were insiders, and so they had an in and all that, and we can go on and on. However, you get the point. So Matt Nagy was asked about all this, the Bears coach, want to get a response. Did he A, confirm the reporting, B, deny the story, or C, say, hey, I got no regrets. I got no regrets at all. So let's ask the question, are you feeling good, Coach Nagy?
I feel great. I haven't seen the article or heard about it, but I think that, you know, I understand. We brought in a lot of different kickers that came in here. And to me, I look at it as a positive in the fact that we said we were going to turn over every stone to find whoever's out there, right? And we felt like at that point in time when we brought in a bunch of kickers, we're going to test them all out and see what they can do. And then within that time frame, we also get put in some situations with the Augusta Silence early on to see how they could handle it. And is it exactly the perfect science? I don't know that. Maybe not. But it's, I don't know the regards of the article, if it was a good article or a bad article, but I think that for the most part, I just really like with how we're going through this thing.
Yeah. Okay, sure. All right, let's discuss the question, did the Bears screw up the kicking search? My thoughts. You've got the clown show, the boilerplate, and the Olympic swimmer. And we will tie all of these things together. Now, per media reports, the Bears absolutely botched the kicking battle. I'm not in Chicago, neither are you, most likely. But as an outside independent observer, they attempted to do the unorthodox. Now, I'm not against doing the unorthodox, but by all means, they tried to be the groundbreaking team. They tried to be innovative. They failed. Right? Now, some Kool-Aid drinkers around the Bears are saying this is nothing. This is just a hatchet story by a bunch of people that have sour grapes because they did not win the Chicago Bears kicking battle. They were the losers. And the better story is in the losing locker room. And so they're saying it doesn't matter. Take this with a grain of salt. I'm going to push back on that because these are legitimate gripes. And imagine if you're interviewing for a job. Like, I'll use this in my life experience. So I'm interviewing for a job at a radio station, and I meet with the program director at the radio station, and the entire time I'm talking to the program director, he is nonstop complaining about the guy he just fired who opened up the position, how incompetent that guy. Is that what you want to hear? Is that what you want to hear? No, that's not what you want to hear. It's not conducive to success. Now, also being neurotic about the double doink kick. I get it. I understand you're supposed to not forget a tough playoff loss, but take some damn meds, right? Take some, get some therapy if you have to. But being so preoccupied, if you're the coach of the Bears, that you repeatedly, and this is what the story said, the Bears had repeatedly had all their kickers attempt 43-yard field goals. Not 40-yard field goals, not 50-yard field goals, 43-yard field goals. This is called Cody Parkey derangement syndrome. It is a clown show. All right? It's a clown show. Matt Nagy is being unreasonable. Who wants to work for someone who's that paranoid about a 43-yard field goal? And what are the chances that the Bears, if they do even make the playoffs this year, what are the chances that the Chicago Bears end up in a playoff game where they need exactly a 43-yard field goal? What's the math on that? Right? No, it's not that. It's actually probably not that big the math because most field goals are from about 40 to, you know, 35 to 50 yards, give or take. So it's about, the math actually isn't that much. But still, the point is, come on. Right, who wants to work for someone like that? And this is known as using a sledgehammer to crack a nut, is what this is with this kind of coaching. Now, part B of this. So Matt Nagy's response, which we played and you heard if you were paying attention, you didn't snooze. You know what that is? boilerplate. That is a boilerplate response when you're involved in something like this, because coaching cliches were flowing. He checked all the boxes. You know, your job is to be the positive Dumbo when you're the head coach. We played sound of John Gruden earlier this week, lavishing the Raiders with praise and lavishing Antonio Brown with praise and all that. But when you're asked about a negative story, here's what you do. Play stupid. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Claim you haven't read the story, you don't know anything about it. Then give a rah-rah speech about how great everything is. Kumbaya, roasting marshmallows around the fire. Everyone hugging each other. Free love. It's like Woodstock. Every coach regales their team publicly and thinks that they're going to make the playoffs and have a chance to win the Super Bowl. That is always the public position. Privately, they often feel much differently. They feel much differently privately. The fact that the Bears kicking search has been this dramatic, like it's cloak and dagger meets crazy town, is the Chicago Bears kicking search. And as of right now, Chicago has one idiot kicker, as Peyton Manning would say, on their roster. Someone named Eddie Pinero, who played for the Raiders last season. He was traded, actually. He wasn't even signed as a street free agent.
Who?
The Bears traded a 7th-round pick, which I believe is conditional.
Never heard of him.
For Eddie Pinero. He played at Florida, I believe. But the Gators haven't been good since the murderer Aaron Hernandez was there. So it's been a while. But listen, he's not even guaranteed a roster spot. So the last thing on this, all right, the final point here. So the kickers are a quirky bunch, have always viewed kickers and relief pitchers as being part of the same DNA pool. And what I mean by that is you have relief pitchers in baseball who one year can be great, and the following year, they get the yips, the baseball equivalent of the yips, where they can't throw strikes all of a sudden, and they're all over the place. They're the wild thing reincarnated. But then the following year, they change teams, and all of a sudden, they're back to being great. I look at kickers the same way. You can have a kicker who's great, never misses, and all of a sudden, they start to miss, and then they start going around the merry-go-round, around from team to team to team to team. And so I expect the Bears, who are projected by many to be one of the great teams in the NFL this year. I'll believe it when I see it. Although I am pulling for the Bears somewhat because my buddy Chuck Pagano, he's literally on his deathbed, is the now defensive coordinator in Chicago. I love Pagano. He was a soundbite. He was just amazing with the...
It's not trigonometry.
Yeah, that's some of his work. That's Chuck Pagano, who was just over the top with the Indianapolis Colts back in the day. So good luck on that. Kickers are a quirky group of people, as I said. They're unconventional, they're out of the ordinary and all that stuff. I would put them on the spectrum of oddball is what I would put them on. And they've got the bohemian tendencies and all that. But again, I expect the Bears to have a revolving door kicker. You know, part time here, part time there. They'll be doing some dumpster diving, and then teams will trim down the roster, and they'll be on the prowl for a new kicker. They really will be like an Olympic diver or Olympic swimmer there. You know, in layman terms, they'll be diving through dumpsters trying to find someone. It's a junkyard jamboree, if you will, trying to find a kicker, because a bunch of kickers are going to be released here in a couple of weeks when rosters have to be set in the NFL, and you always like what you don't have, so chances are the Bears will find someone that they don't have on their roster, and they'll say, well, that guy's probably pretty good. Bring that schmo in here. We'll see what he can do. We'll give it a shot. Why not? All right, here's the Ben Maller Show on Fox. So I mentioned last hour we had a Maller monologue about these magical pills that baseball players were using, and baseball sent out a memo telling them to knock it off because you could fail a PED test. Well, Houday Baby writes in. He says, yes, I have used those gas station pills. He's giving his story. He says, they work amazingly. And he says, whenever I need to do the you-know-what, I can always count on them. And thank you. He says, a big-time fan of the show, listens to the show. He drives his truck every night, East Coast Baby. And he is locked and loaded there listening to the show. So thank you. I appreciate that. Very. Everyone's got a story. Who knew? These things must sell. There's a reason they're at the counter at every gas station I've ever been to, because they're selling. Otherwise, they wouldn't put them there, right? If no one's buying them, they wouldn't have them there.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
And the Koopa Loop is here. You're getting upset with Rachel, so now the floor is yours. The dais is yours, Koopa Loop.
On Tuesday, Clayton Kershaw collected his 166th win for the Dodgers, putting him ahead of Sandy Koufax for most by a Dodger left-hander, and fifth most all-time. Ben, any chance Kershaw retires with the title of all-time greatest Dodgers pitcher?
No. I mean, even Roberto was answering. It's Roberto to the third degree. The answer is no. All right? This is impossible. There's two reasons this is impossible. Number one, Sandy Koufax is held in such reverence by the old guard Dodger fan. And he has been put on a pedestal there and reached deity status. Koufax is a living god for the Dodger franchise. His career was, it ended prematurely because he had to retire because of the injury and all that. So nobody saw Koufax get old. Nobody saw him decline. Nobody saw him had bad years. He was great all the way through, Sandy Koufax. And number two, Clayton Kershaw, we all know the Komodo Dragon Room. He has not been a big game pitcher. He deservedly has been ridiculed and mocked for losing games and as a pedestrian postseason ERA. Although I do find it ironic that the Dodgers, I think there's an odd thing. If you think of Kershaw as being the worst player of all time for the Dodgers in the playoffs, and Koufax is the greatest, but the Dodgers in 30 playoff appearances for Kershaw are 15-15. Here's a fun fact for you. The 1960s Dodgers with Sandy Koufax, and they didn't play the wild card round and the league championship series. They went right to the World Series. Sandy Koufax pitched in 8 games in the postseason. The Dodgers were 4-4 in Sandy Koufax's 8 start. Now, the difference is obvious that Koufax had an ERA of 0.95. The Dodgers just couldn't score any runs in those days. But the reality is Clayton Kershaw has had more good innings in the playoffs than bad innings, but it's almost like he's got a pitching version of Tourette's syndrome where he has these involuntary situations where he just vomits and he can't help himself. All right, next.
Reports spread yesterday that the Oklahoma City Thunder are trying to make it appear as if they are content with Chris Paul being their headliner, when really they hope something will emerge on the market for him. Ben, will any team be stupid enough to trade for CP3?
All right, so my thoughts on this. A, the only way this works out for Oklahoma City is if they can somehow work it out where they trade Chris Paul to Oklahoma City. Like, they're the sucker, all right? They're the sucker in the room. And so the fact that Chris Paul was able to be traded one time is ridiculous. And the only reason that happened was because of two things, right? He got into a beef with James Harden, and the Rockets found a team filled with a bunch of dumbos in Oklahoma City. So the fact that the booby prize of the NBA was already moved around and all that, guy's got a $40 million a year plus contract. And the only hope for Oklahoma City is, like, LeBron, I want to smoke stogies with Chris Paul, bring him to the Lakers. But the math doesn't work out. And that's the other part of this. Even if the Thunder found a team that wanted Chris Paul, the salary cap would make a trade near impossible, right? Because Russell Westbrook and Chris Paul were making about the same money, so the trade worked out in that regard. Chris Paul, he's really just a bad meal reheated at this point, right? He has to dominate the ball. We all know his game in the NBA. He has to dominate the ball, or else he's not helping you win games. And he's also declining. He's in his mid-30s now. That is a lethal, toxic combo. Next!
Now, Gilbert Arenas said in an interview the other day that the reason why Kawhi left the Raptors is simply due to location. Players just don't want to play in another country. Now, Ben, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find anyone to argue this, but would you do radio in Toronto if the money was better?
Well, as you know, Coop, early on, I was a radio stringer for The Fan in Toronto. I was on there back when the Blue Jays were good and they were in the World Series. That's a long time ago. Actually, shortly after that. But the first thing, when I was, I'll answer it this way. When I was single, I would have absolutely moved to Toronto, no problem. I was desperate to get a big break somewhere and, you know, establish myself. And I tried a bunch of different opportunities like that to put my roots down. But at this point, I would not. I would not, and I can prove that because in recent years, I have actually had a couple of opportunities. I've been offered drive time shows in some other markets in recent years, which I was very flattered by. But the money was about the same, and I did the arithmetic and moving and selling the underwater Mallor mansion that I reside in or renting it out or whatever. It would not have worked out. It would have only, you know, the jobs that were offered, one was on the East Coast and one was in the West, and they would have paid a little more than I make now, but not enough where it was like, okay, this makes sense, because again, all the costs that go in when you relook. Now, that said, Coop, if someone in television wants to hire me, let's talk, okay? Send me a message.
Yeah.
I can. That TV money, now that's real money. So I will certainly look at it. But for a lateral move in radio, no. All right, there it is. Mallor, the third degree. How did we do?
Ben, you pass us.
That is a winner. You put it on the board. Yes. Ding, 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 ding.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, let's get to it. Here we go right now.
It's now time for...
Well, hurry, I can hardly wait.
Ask Ben.
Twitter!
Send us your questions on Twitter now.
All right, so we'll do a little now and a lot later. It's Ask Ben, your questions, our answers for the rest of the hour. And here's the microphone. We pass it over to the Koopa Loop, the reader of the questions that have been submitted.
All right, Ben.
Yes, yes.
I don't normally start with a question for you, but
you're going to break format now?
I am, because I lost the one that I wanted to ask that was just for you. So as soon as I find it, we'll get back to
the
it.
Lunacy.
So instead, we're going to start with a question for everyone.
All right.
This is from David on Twitter.
Hi, David.
This is for Ben and the crew. Did you have a girlfriend in high school?
No, I did not. I was a loser. Women didn't want to hang out with me at all. I did. You know, I have some friends. Well, I didn't have like a girlfriend. I mean, I was friendly with some girls in high school, but they, you know, anytime you brought up the girlfriend thing, oh, no, just a friend. What about you, Eddie? Big stud in high school, Eddie?
No, I wouldn't say that, but I did have a very serious girlfriend in high school.
Did you go to the prom with your girlfriend?
Yeah. She was a junior. I was a senior, so I had to go twice. The year after I graduated, I had to go too.
What a big stud coming back. Look at me.
Yeah. There was even talk of marriage at one point.
Wow.
Way too young for that. Thank God that didn't happen, but yeah.
Mind-blowing. Imagine what your life would have been if you had gotten married out after high school, Eddie. Like, right
I know.
Away,
no,
man.
I do think about that, because if I would have had a kid like shortly after that, you know, in that time, he could have kids right now.
I know. You'd be Grandpa Eddie.
I know. It's crazy.
It's wild, man. Like, well, some of these guys, I've had athletes I've interviewed that have had kids that are, they're like grandparents in their early 40s. It's wild. What about you, Roberto?
No girlfriend in high school. It was a small high school, and the girls were not very
Didn't
good
you go
looking.
To a religious high school
yeah.
anyway?
Yeah. Bell Jeff in Burbank, California.
Shout out Burbank.
Burbank.
I was more of a Burroughs guy in Burbank, but that's, you know. That's
I was Burbank.
Yeah. I used to work in Burbank. What about you, Coop the Loop?
I had a couple girlfriends in high school.
Of course
but,
you did. They
were good. Childhood star.
That movie star, yes.
Yeah. none of them lasted any longer than like a few months at most.
Isn't that how they're supposed to last in high school?
Yeah.
Move on to the next next conquest or whatever. All right, let's press on here. It is Ask Ben. One more question here, and then we'll have the full brilliance of Ask Ben, a storybook edition coming up.
All right, Ben, I found it.
All right.
It was from the Gagon account.
Oh, come on. That's David Gascon. That's his parody account.
I don't think so. But
it is.
Ben, you just died and your funeral is attended by every Mallor Militia member.
Yeah.
You must choose one. Who do you want to deliver your eulogy? And he gives choices here.
Okay.
Your hot tub buddy, Arnie Spanier. Your soon-to-be replacement, Jonas Knox. Or your best friend, David Gascon.
My best friend, David Gascon. Well, me and Arnie go back the furthest out of all of those. I mean, we go back, and so the Snake and Genius would regale me in great stories, and he'd give some football picks also. So he'd entertain the people. He'd give some football picks on that. So I guess I'd go I'd go Stinking Genius on that. All right, it's Ask Ben. Your questions, our answers for the rest of the hour as the train keeps moving down the tracks.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
And Ask Ben continues. It's brought to you by Discover Card. We treat you like you treat you. These are actual questions sent in by actual listeners like yourself. And back to Koopa Loop we go.
Ben, a question for the crew. This is from Alex on Facebook.
Hi, Alex.
What was the toughest subject in school for you?
Everything. All of the above. No, probably math, I would say. The funny thing about math, though, is I've learned enough math. Like, I use numbers a lot to fill out monologues and things like that. So I've actually gotten decent at some basic math, but like the algebra stuff and the, oh God, that was a nightmare. What about you, Eddie?
Completely the same for me. Anything involving math, it was just something that never stuck with me. I couldn't retain, like, you know, doing formulas and equations and all that stuff. I couldn't remember all that stuff, yeah. So I was terrible at it.
That was bad. What about Roberto? What about you,
man? That's right. Math, algebra, geometry, all that crap.
We're all math idiots. Koopa Loop.
Chemistry was the hardest one for me, actually.
Well, there's math and chemistry.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. That is true. Yeah, so
mathematics and chemistry.
It was an added, certain math classes I was able to get away with because if you're like able to do all of your assignments open book, you can just kind of like plug the formulas in. And it was, so there was that. Some had open book tests. So I was able to skate by with that.
If I was in school now, I'd be really good. Because with the internet, I know all how to cheat on the internet. So I think I could do well now. But when I was in school, it didn't have the option of doing
my old geometry teacher used to be played in the NFL, Mr. Woodleaf. He point at you with his finger,
yeah.
And it was broken, and it was, he pointed the other way.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Not good.
No lie.
What were those things we used to get back in the day, Eddie and Roberto? You're around my age here. What were they? We have to buy them the yellow little books that had the when you were trying to learn something in school. Yeah. Remember what they were? I forget what they were.
Cliff notes.
Yeah,
they still got those.
Really?
Yeah.
Who the hell's buying those? You can go on the internet. Really. You don't need that.
I mean, actually, I don't know if they still have them, but they had them when I was in school.
Okay. All right.
All right. This is for the crew. This is from Ernie, the Great Opiner.
Hi, Ernie.
When you have a piece of food stuck in your teeth and you pick it out, do you eat it and swallow or spit it out?
Depends what it is. If it's candy, you know, if it's a Reese's Pieces, I might, or M&M's or whatever, I might enjoy that. But no, you know, normally if it's sitting between your teeth, that's time to check out. And that's one of the habits my wife hates is I love these toothpicks. I'll sometimes, and she can't stand, she has this mental illness with sounds, and she
my wife does too.
Yeah, she gets freaks out. She wants to throw away all these toothpicks. What about you, Eddie?
It depends on where I am. If I'm like outside or near a sink or something, I'll probably spit it out. But if I have to like get up and walk across the room, I'm too lazy, I'll probably just swallow it.
All right, Roberto.
Yeah, just whatever's there, I'll just chew, taste it, see, and eat it. Yeah.
It's by the way, that illness is misophonia, is what it's called. If you're freaked out by it.
When I eat, my wife says like chew loud. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I don't hear anything.
Yeah, my wife. Now normally we normally eat watching television. You know,
usually, yeah, we whatever, do.
But the other night she wanted me to sit at the table, you know, like a grown-ups, you know? And then she got so annoyed with the way I was eating that she turned on music on her phone to drown out the sound. What about you, Koopa Loop?
I'm with you, Ben. It depends what it is. Like, if it's like a popcorn kernel, that's been pretty painful. It's like hard to get out from in between your teeth.
Butter,
so
though.
So I got to spit that out. If it's an item that's like not meant to be eaten by itself, like more of like a garnish or a compliment, yeah. like cilantro, I'll spit that out as well. But if it's like a, you know, like a piece of steak or something, I'll probably eat that.
You give it another go.
Yeah.
Right? Why not? What the hell? All right. Ask Ben. Your questions are answers for the rest of the hour. These are actual questions. What's next?
This is from Uber Ian on Twitter.
Hi, Ian.
What was everyone's last job before they were working for Fox Sports Radio?
Oh, before I was working for Fox Sports Radio? I was working for Extra Sports 1150, the big sports station, which is now AM 570 in L.A., and then they whacked me from that job, and then I got a job here. Actually, I was working at both at the same time. What about you, Eddie? Where were you working before?
I worked for the Fox Sports Network TV behind the scenes, doing research and being in the control room during sports shows and stuff like that. It was interesting.
Yeah. All right. Well, what about you, Roberto?
I was working at the post office before.
You were in the post?
Yeah.
Before, oh,
yeah.
Delivering the mail with Roberto.
Did you have the full postal uniform?
Yeah. No, because no? They don't give you the, when you're starting out, they don't give you a uniform.
Really?
Yeah.
So you weren't delivering the mail.
Yeah.
You were?
Yeah.
You didn't have a uniform?
They don't give you a uniform.
How long do you have to be a postal worker before you earn the uniform?
After 3 months.
3 months?
Yeah.
But did you ever get attacked by a dog while you were doing that?
No, never. No? No.
I thought that's a job I could do, but you have to, like, don't you have to memorize zip codes and stuff?
And then you got to be very well organized, and it's just,
yeah.
I had already been working in radio for, like, over 10 years. I had gotten laid off, but I needed a job. I wasn't going to be lazy like weed man hippie and sit there. So I just, they were hiring at the post office, so I did it, but.
Yeah.
Nah, like not my cup of tea.
Yeah, I think I could. The parts of the job I would like to work at a post office, like moving around a lot.
And they micromanage a lot in the post office. They're always on your ass, like, oh, where are you?
When I was in high school, I had a job working at the local post office. The most miserable group of people I've ever been around. I can understand why they shoot up the post office.
Wow, Eddie.
I'm serious. They
micromanage everybody there. Right. A lot of people don't like it there.
All right. Well, that used to be a term. Now, unfortunately, in America, it's everything. used to be postal. Yeah. Now it's everything. All right, what about you, Koopa? The music stopped.
I worked as a phone salesman selling ink and toner to companies.
I remember when you were doing that.
Yeah. I was doing both jobs at the same time for a while.
Yeah. All right. Well, very good. Thank you for all the questions. And if you like this, we'll do it again next week. And we will have even more Ask Ben. Maybe I'll do one this weekend on Twitter if I have time. We occasionally do that as well. Another successful journey into Ask Ben Land.